Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Welcome. You're listening to Sports Econ 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Michael McDowd. Can I call you Michael instead of Mike? No, I like Mike. Whatever you want.
Call me whatever you want. Just don't call me late.
That's right. Exactly. At each commercial break, we're going to ask a trivia question. Today's trivia theme is miscellaneous trivia. In our next segment, we're actually going to have two guests, Michael, who are two guests.
We have not one, but two. Well, on the screen right now, and we'll introduce him, is a fine gentleman. He hails from, what part of Texas? What part of Texas?
Granbury,
Texas.
Little town outside of Fort Worth.
You can hear that melodic voice. He was one time the starting quarterback for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and we'll give you all the particulars. But not only that is Patrick one heck of a football player, originally from Erie, Pennsylvania. He has a very interesting company that surrounds the game of football. Our next guest is going to be joining us is Harper LaBelle, a former Colorado State Ram tight end and long snapper. Well, Harper is what we like to call a triathlete. He played 11 years in the National Football League. I say that's doing something pretty special. He was definitely a marathoner, and boy, I don't know too many guys who played in the NFL for 11 years.
There we go.
And he's coming out of the air right now. I'm giving him a grand entrance, and we're going to talk to Harper and Patrick coming up next.
That's right. Okay, audience, you are listening to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown, along with Mike McDowd, and when we come back, we're going to reintroduce Patrick Steenberge and Harper LaBelle. Don't touch that dial.
Palio Restaurant's been the premier Italian restaurant serving downtown San Francisco since 1990. Palio features fine Italian fare and a Wine Spectator award-winning wine list, so there's no surprise it's been voted best Italian restaurant in the SF Weekly this year. Palio has consistently been voted one of the best restaurants in San Francisco by San Francisco locals. Palio's been in business for over 30 years and recently went through a complete remodel. Our guests can expect to receive the same excellence in food and service that has sustained us for over 30 years in a brand new and more modern space. Our 250-plus seat restaurant includes seating in four distinct spaces, making social distancing while dining easy in our establishment. All precautions are taken by staff to ensure a safe dining experience. Open Monday through Saturdays. Reservations are recommended. Visit paliosf.com to view our menus and make a reservation today.
voted Best Natural Hot Springs in Calistoga by Travel and Leisure magazine, Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs has been providing wellness, relaxation, and good times since 1952. Rooted in Calistoga's rich history, a new spa garden and outdoor living reveals why Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs is the place to stay. Come visit us in beautiful Calistoga and experience our special mud baths and healing mineral waters. It's no wonder USA Today voted Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs as the best wine country hotel. You won't find a more relaxing time than staying in our exquisite rooms and experiencing the awesome spa temperature mineral springs. Call 707-942-4102 or visit drwilkinson.com. That's drwilkinson.com.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to elkcoveinn.com for reservations. That's elkcoveinn.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown along with Mike McDowell. Mike, introduce please our two guests.
Wow, what a mouthful. And you can call me Michael if you want, okay? My beautiful soon-to-be bride will calls me that. So anyways, our guests, let's get to the pretty important show today. First of all, a gentleman who has mixed feelings this morning, I'm sure, who was he went to the one of the best universities in South Bend, Indiana, one of two universities there, I believe. I don't believe he went to St. Mary's College, but Patrick played for the University of Notre Dame Fighting Irish in 1971. He's from Erie, Pennsylvania. He is in Texas right now, coming to us live. And Patrick, good morning to you. And before we say good morning to you, I want to introduce our other guest, who's a really great guy. I've had an opportunity to get to know him a little bit. He hails from the fine state of California, as do I and Edward. And he is a graduate of Notre Dame High School in Sherman Oaks, California. He's in the Hall of Fame there. He played from there. He went on to have a really nice career for the Colorado State Rams. And then from here, he said, you know, I still have football in my blood. I think I'm going to play in the NFL. So Harper decides to play not 1 year, not 2 years, 11 years in the National Football League. I call that a triathlete as far as NFL players are concerned. You're a marathoner, and it's really great to have both of you guys. Happy New Year to both of you guys. Nice to see you.
Welcome, guys.
Hey, thanks, Michael. Okay.
Yeah, thank you for the nice introduction. And Patrick may remember our band used to play the fight song and the march when Notre Dame would come out to California and play the USC Trojans. Instead of shipping out all the students with the trombones and drums and all that, they just used our guys. It was a much smaller, it was like a pep band in relation to Notre Dame's band, but they still would play the fight song. And if Patrick had several touchdowns, then he would have been a very happy man. But it beats Dr. Arthur C. Bartner in the USC Trojan band that would play Conquest after every third and four. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, so just our correlation to the University of Notre Dame. Very small, but we do have a little bit.
That's a good connection. And that dang white horse, the night I was out there, it was muddy, rainy, and that white horse kept running up and down the field. It was not a good night.
Yeah,
travel. Yeah. Okay, that leads us right into. Go ahead.
Yeah, No, I got to say, Harper, I can attest that I've seen your high school band against, as you know, Notre Dame goes to the Coliseum to play the Trojans. And that band was always there doing a great job. And people, especially the Notre Dame fans and alumni, really, really appreciated them. But, hey, segue to this. And, Edward, I know you massive game last.
Okay, so we're recording the show on Tuesday, the day right after Ohio State and Notre Dame. And I, to be honest with everyone, I hadn't really followed too much of college football. But, you know, of course, when it gets to the end, I'm kind of looking at it. And, you know, right away you see Notre Dame score. And it's like, okay, this is good. And I was more of a Notre Dame fan anyway. But then I got to say, as soon as they, on TV, when they showed the front line of the Ohio State, and each guy was at least 6'4", 320, I thought, this is going to be quite a challenge. I mean, when you have guys that big, as all of them on the front line, your quarterback is going to have all day to throw. And sure enough, Ohio State, Patrick, what did you say they scored on the first five? Or Mike, you said they scored in the first five?
I think one of you guys could. At first four or five possessions, they scored. And to me, that set the tone. And basically, no offense, game over. I hate to say that. It wasn't over, but it was close enough. I mean, the Irish gave it a
Only because of the turnover. I mean, the game really wasn't that close, right? I think the score was, 35-23, but it or something like that, but it shouldn't have even been that close. Yeah, it was a tough loss.
We'll give the Notre Dame guy what's your thoughts, Patrick? I'm sure there's mixed emotions.
Yeah, I mean, it was first of all, it was a great season for Notre Dame. I don't think anybody expected them to do what they did, especially after that hiccup with the MAC team from Northern Illinois that came in and beat us early on. But actually, I think Coach Freeman and the other coach used that to their advantage. And from that point on, they just developed and got better and better and better as the year wore on. And I think last night we just ran into some probably the best receiving core in college football. I think they've got the best, you know, four or five receivers in college football, great offensive line. And, you know, we were hindered by injuries. You know, now that they're playing these, you know, the lengthy playoff, really, you got to go deep into your roster. And we had some defensive backs, you know, that weren't starters early on the year. I think we had three starters that were not in the game from early in the year. And when you're playing guys like that, you know, I think in the end they had a few better Jimmys and Joes than we did, you know, but it was a great season. Yeah, disappointing last night, but you know, I'm proud of our boys, and especially I think we've got the right coach now. We've gone through a couple others that you know, didn't fit what I thought should be at Notre Dame, but it's great to see them playing solid football.
Get that new Rockney spirit, right?
Well, yeah, it's more about the players than the coaches, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And Harper, what about you? Because, you know, you played at the highest level. You were a fine tight end at Colorado State, and you played the National Football League. You know, and with all the college football experience, because you also see a ton of college football. You are the color man for Georgia State University, I believe. And you see so much football. What were the discrepancies that you saw? What were things that just stood out and said, hey, it's going to be a long night?
Well, I love the way that the Irish just marched down the field. I didn't realize until after he'd come off the sideline that Riley Leonard had a situation where I think he landed on the ball and it affected his ribs or his stomach or something like that. Cause I was surprised at how gassed and tired that he looked. He just wasn't able to breathe. And some of that's emotion. Some of that's just the jitters that you have, as Patrick would attest, to any ball game. And I'm going, wait a second, this is a little odd, but no, it was a part of an injury, I guess you could say. No, it wasn't a significant one, but it did hinder him there. But then they couldn't get a first down for the rest of, I mean, they took up what, 10 minutes in the first quarter, but until halftime, and then their first possession in the second half. So I realized, and I think everybody did, that against a team like Ohio State, and I'm going to say this without reservation, but understand, I respect them. I appreciate what they did. I congratulate them. This is not a critical comment, but a critique. It's the best team money could buy. And the game has changed before our very eyes, where there's now a cap that would never have been in place a few years ago. But now you can spend $22 million. And I think Ohio State spent $20 million to get to where they did. And I think that with all the money, and we don't know what the ratings are yet, what the revenue is going to be split up as, but Ohio State is in perfect position, as is, let's say, Texas, maybe Penn State. I don't know. There are going to be four or five other institutions, Alabama certainly being one, where money will not be an issue. They already have enough of it to re-bolster their lineup and to be able to put the top guys back in all over again next year, where Indiana may not have that yet, but they're working on it. SMU, other teams that made it in. Boise State, how are they going to compete in the future with their three-star guys versus the four- and five-star guys that Ohio State, Notre Dame, Florida State all seem to get every year? I hope it works to where we manage the game so that it's better rather than it's more limited and it becomes smaller.
Good. Okay, guys. Hey, good stuff. Tell you what, let's go to our first commercial break. We're going to start off with an easy question, get a little bit harder and a little bit harder. Total random questions here. All right. Which Olympics was boycotted by 65 countries? And you have to name all 65. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, call or email Edward at sportsecom101.com. Which Olympics was boycotted by 65 countries? All right, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, that's 800-620-1624.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Hey, Mike, next time you got to look at the camera because we have to have 5 seconds of silence. All right, here's our first, Here's our first trivia question. Which Olympics was boycotted by 65 countries? Anyone?
Yes.
80 Summer Games is my guess.
Exactly. That's right. Remember when Afghanistan was invaded by Russia and Jimmy Carter decided, I don't think we're going to go to the Olympics. And then what happens in 84, Russia does that to us. And so it was kind of a lopsided one.
Well, we hosted the Winter Games, and obviously the USA hockey story was thing. But that was back in the era where the Summer and Winter Games were both celebrated in the same year. But yeah, I don't remember Carl Lewis and Edwin Moses, they all had to wait till 84.
Yeah, Mary Lou Retton. And was it Mary Lou Retton?
Yes.
Yeah.
Harvey Brooks, Jim Craig, Mike Ruzioni, all that great hockey team.
Oh, yeah.
Lake Placid.
Which, by the way, that was Herb, I want to say Herb Score,
Brooks.
Which was played by Goldie Hawn's husband, Kurt Russell.
He was fabulous.
It was actually a good movie. I don't know if you saw that movie. It was good. Miracle on Ice.
Yeah.
Little trivia thing about, now we'll wait for your, they got hockey players to be actors. They had to skate first. They were guys that were very good athletically, and that made the action portion of that movie a lot more realistic, because these guys were actually they were players, and they turned them into, it wasn't the greatest acting you're ever going to see, but revealing the story, that was a critical component for that. So one of the little goofy things that I learned about that movie, I absolutely love it. A Miracle is a fantastic family movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I was, I'm more of an actor than a skater. You don't put me on skates. No. All right. Hey, moving on to the NFL for just a minute. So now we're down to the four teams: Eagles, Commanders, Bills, Chiefs. I gotta think that this is going to be an American League Super Bowl win. Either the Chiefs or the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl, is my personal opinion. I mean, the Commanders kind of coming out, their young buck coming out, the quarterback, he's looking pretty good. Any comments, guys?
Well, first of all, the what they did to the Detroit Lions is embarrassing, because Edward and I have a local connection to the great Jared Goff. We're big fans of him and went to Marin Catholic High School. And I feel so sorry for him, because the Commanders came out and literally played, for lack of a better term, and you guys can correct me, absolute smash mouth, in your face, physical football. As a result, it worked. And Detroit just defensively had no answers. What's your thoughts?
The Chiefs, until the Chiefs get beaten, I'm still going to go with them. I mean, they've proven it a number of times. I think their coach is really good. And Mahomes is pretty magical when it's needed. So I wouldn't mind if somebody else went in there and did it, but we'll see.
Especially the Bills, the four losses in a row, and the only one they even had a chance on was the first one. And then Scott Norwood missed the field goal that would have won it for them against the Giants. I'm kind of aging myself a little bit here, you know.
That's all right, Edward. I know those games well.
Listen, I was a huge Fran Tarkenton fan, and I was so upset when Len Dawson beat them in Super Bowl IV, I think that was. I'm an old guy. What do you think, Harper? Are you making any predictions?
Correct. Yeah, Super Bowl IV was one of four, not in a row like the Bills, but the Vikings certainly struggled early on, but for them to make it, that was something else. And I'll be candid. I thought the best team in the tournament was the Baltimore Ravens because they were playing better. They had a little chip on their shoulder. Their defense was drastically improved over the middle of the season. But whatever, Buffalo said, you're not going to beat us in our building. And it's a shame. It takes 10 or 12 degrees, wind chill for some teams to generate their best football. But I agree with Patrick. Is who would place their money on someone other than Patrick Mahomes if the game is on the line and you're down by five when there's a minute 40 seconds on the clock and you got one timeout? I will say that the Eagles, their offensive line is absolutely amazing. I thought Detroit's was really good too, but they control the clock as good as anybody I can see right now. But the story to me is, how do you go from the number two pick in the draft and get this guy, Jaden Daniels, to where you're playing for an NFC championship in 1 year? What an amazing turnaround for the Commanders. I still want to call them the Redskins. All of us would we'll get in political correctness trouble for that. But basically, the organization itself, what a thrill it is for that part of town to have a great team again. I mean, literally a great team. They have really turned it around. So very impressed with the Commanders.
Yeah, by the way, there's a lot of Native Americans.
All hail the mighty Redskins.
You know what? And there's a lot. Apparently, there's a fair amount of quote Native American, which to me doesn't really make any sense because nobody's native to America. But anyway, be that as it may, who say they love the name of the Redskins.
Yep.
To me, I also would think it's kind of an affront, but they don't, and that's who cares. Yes. That's what matters, really. It'll be. I just don't see either the Eagles or the Commanders beating either the Bills or the Chiefs myself. So my money's on an American League again. But you get the stuff where it's like you never know with turnovers, right? I mean, Baltimore. I thought Baltimore was at least as good as the Chiefs. I mean, the Bills. What did they have? Three turnovers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that changes the whole game.
It changes it. Hey, Harper, since we're talking about Super Bowl and tight ends, a good buddy of mine I was texting last night throughout the game was the ghost, Dave Casper. Did you ever get to know David?
No, I had a financial advisor who knew Dave back when he first started in the insurance business. And first of all, a tremendous, tremendous football player. One of my idols growing up. I wanted to wear his number in high school. And then when you throw in what he's been through from a financial aspect, lost everything pretty much, Patrick, as you know.
Yep.
And for him to rebound the way that he has, I'm just delighted that him and his story, even though it's tragic from a financial aspect, that he's able to turn things around. And, you know, so many of our former players don't know what to do when they're done playing football. And a few like Mike Webster was living under a bridge. Yeah. What a great shame. But Dave's a fantastic person. I'd love to meet him. And
didn't he go in the insurance business?
He did.
In fact, it's interesting because I get asked every year. They now call it the Joe Morgan Memorial Tournament, but it was the Dave Casper Golf Tournament. So I get to host the radio tent, and so Dave, he's such a quiet guy, you know. But it was the Dave Casper Golf Tournament here in California. So it was kind of fun to meet all these guys, and he's very, very, very nice, quiet guy. Yeah,
he is brilliant. I mean, he would change things on the offensive line. He would change blocking schemes just during the game. He and his other linemen in one game he played. He was just kind of an athlete. And this wasn't, we had face masks in the early 70s, it wasn't forever ago, but he played tight end, which was his normal position, played offensive tackle, played wide receiver, and played defensive end at different times of the game against USC 1 year. He was just, and now we'll age ourselves, Ed. He knew the whole song of Alice's Restaurant, Arlo Guthrie's 27 minutes. He'd get up during a break in a band at a restaurant or a club, and he would pull out a guitar and he'd do all 27 minutes of Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. And go through it all. Like, how did you learn that, David? I can't remember the first stanza, But he's
but wasn't it like Dave DeBuscher right memorized the Houston telephone book or something ridiculous? there was some basketball player, or it was either DeBuscher or Havlicek or something. Kind of a crazy.
It could have been Lucas because he was an intellectual guy. You know, Jerry Lucas was
Jerry Lucas. That's who it was. Yeah, someone played the East Coast.
Mike and I would just want to memorize the one girl's phone number that was really pretty. That's all we would care about, but not the whole phone book, right, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. Now I got a sticky question for Patrick Steinberg, who was our guest along with Harper LaBelle. Patrick, who played for the University of Notre Dame, and Harper, Colorado State, the National Football League, the Atlanta Falcons. Now, Patrick, I might get in trouble asking you this question, and you don't have to answer this. But
okay, good.
I'm not going to throw you under the bus. One guy that you took over for was pretty well known, a guy by the name of Joe Theismann.
Yeah.
Did you? I'm going to ask you a stupid question. How well did you know him? What was he like? Because I remember him as being the biggest, you know, quarterback darling around. Remember he was on the TV shows with his little blonde darling. What was her name? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What was her name?
Kelly, one of those yeah, people.
Well, anyways, what was he like? Because Harper has a story that's okay, but I'm just curious. Were you guys friends?
We're going to go to our next break. When we come back, go ahead and tell that story. Every time I think of Joe Theismann, I think of Lawrence Taylor, though, and that broken leg.
Tough crazy. End of his career.
Oh, yeah. Reminds me of Napoleon McCallum with Ken Norton Jr., too. That I'll tell you a quick story about that off air. Which is the highest-selling arcade game? Again, we're total random questions here. Which is the highest selling arcade game? Stay with us. Sports Econ 101. We'll be right back.
At the heart of San Francisco lies the Axiom Hotel. Located in the heart of Union Square, the Axiom Hotel blends a sense of history with modern touches. Our spacious accommodations are comfortable and created with a soft ambiance. With state-of-the-art amenities such as a core fitness center and in-room espresso and coffee. Guest reviews rave about the staff, as well as how quiet the hotel is. So you can get a good night's sleep and rest up for a day of shopping at the best stores San Francisco has to offer. Just steps from the Powell Street cable car turnaround, the Axiom Hotel is ideal for exploring downtown San Francisco. Check out axiomhotel.com for our specials and vacation packages and book online today. That's axiomhotel.com or call 415-392-9466. That's 415-392-9466. The Axiom Hotel San Francisco.
Mountain Mike's Pizza in San Rafael is open for both takeout and delivery. So if you want pizza the way it ought to be, call us at 415-454-4300 or go to mountainmikesanrafael.com and order online. You can either pick up your fabulous pizza or we can deliver it to you. Our dough and shredded cheese are made fresh daily. So call 415-454-4300 or go to mountainmikesanrafael.com and order your pizza.
Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa provides guests with an all-lakefront hotel in South Lake Tahoe, where every lodge room and condominium has a view of the lake and mountains. Hotel rooms offer lodge pine furnishings, gas fireplace, and a full lake view. Condominiums offer private bedroom, full kitchen, and living area with a fireplace. Guests can relax or play on over 500 feet of private beach and enjoy a dip in the outdoor heated pool and hot tub that are also lakeside. Element Day Spa, located inside the hotel, offers individual and couples packages with treatments inspired by Tahoe's nature. The Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa, located close to all South Lake Tahoe summer and winter activities. Perfect for individual and group getaways to the lake and mountains. No added resort fees here. Call 800-448-4300. 800-288-4577 or go to TahoeLakeshoreLodge.com.
Just minutes from LAX, the Lum Hotel offers travelers a comfortable and convenient stay in an exciting neighborhood. Its prime location provides easy access to major attractions such as SoFi Stadium, Hollywood Park, and the future home of the LA Clippers. You'll enjoy a fitness center, resort-style pool, and rooftop bar. The perfect spot for dining after a game, enjoying craft cocktails before a concert, or just having a casual dinner. The Lum Hotel just recently opened, so book your reservations now at lumhotel.com. That's L-U-M Hotel.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101 one more time. I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mike McDowell, our special guest, Patrick Sternberg, and Harper LaBelle. Second trivia question, which is the highest selling arcade game?
The seconds or first?
Which is the highest, I'm sorry, which is the highest selling arcade game?
Can I take a shot at this? Yeah. Harper, you want to do it? Go ahead.
No, I'm just he wants the highest, and you want to give the number two. I don't understand why you want to give the number two.
We're gonna go with the Pac-Man. Pac-Man.
Yes, Pac-Man. 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 Very good. All right. Okay.
Thank
now,
you. I'll Patrick be here all week.
Thank I'll you. Be here all week.
Patrick says he's got a special trivia question for us. Go ahead, Patrick.
Ties into the Buffalo Bills and Notre Dame. Who was the last Notre Dame player to be the number one pick in the NFL draft? And about when was it? Think about it. When was the last the number one pick in the NFL draft? The last national championship was 1988 for Notre Dame. So who was the last the number one pick?
Wasn't Jim Kelly? Yeah, but you said it has to be Rocket.
Wasn't the Rocket?
Nope.
It wasn't Jim Kelly.
I said I've won a couple cold drinks on this bet. On this little
so yeah, he played for the Bills?
Played for the Bills. That's who drafted him.
You said 1988?
No. That's 88 was our last national championship. It was before 88. Basically, it was you'll never get it. The guy played for five or 6 years, had a solid year.
Monty Stickles.
No, sir. Walt Podolsky from Syracuse, New York. The number one pick in the NFL draft. Podolsky. Defensive end, 6'6". Nobody could run the option on him. He shut down the Texas wishbone by himself in the Cotton Bowl in 71 and was drafted the number one pick in the NFL draft. Walt Podolsky. And it would have been 72 draft, I guess, after the 71 season. But think of it. That's like 53 years ago since Notre Dame had the number one pick in the draft.
And he was what position was he?
Defensive end.
Oh, defense. Okay, yeah. Never mind. Yeah. I was thinking he would have blocked for OJ back in those days, but he was busy tackling him in training camp.
He was trying to tackle him. Yeah.
Yeah. Because OJ.
And
came
what about?
Did he
talk about a football name? That's a football name I've ever heard of.
Walt Podolsky. And he was a financial investment guy too. Out because as you know, everybody had to work real jobs besides playing football back then.
Yeah. Fine Irishman, I'm sure, right? Podolsky would have been a great Irishman.
Good man.
Yes, good for him.
Good man.
Yes.
All right. What were you talking about before we went to break?
Oh, I don't know.
You're asking me about Joe T.
Well, was he a close teammate of yours, or what was the relationship like?
Yeah, back when I was playing, freshmen weren't eligible. So your freshman year, you just were the prep team, the scout team, basically. And Joe was the starting quarterback the year before. And my sophomore year, he was a senior, and he was another good trivia. He was one of three quarterbacks who were up for the Heisman Trophy that year. And one of them being Archie Manning, Joe Theismann, and the guy who won it was Jim Plunkett from Stanford. But Joe was, Joe was amazingly, I'd think like sometimes really late on Saturday night, I'd go, man, I'm better than him. I can beat him out, And then I'd watch practice on Monday. We'd be running number one offense, number two offense against the prep team, And he'd make plays and I'd go, dang, how did he do that? He had such quick feet, quick release, knew where he was going with the ball, was very accurate. He was just a really good player. Yeah. And, had a great personality. He believed in his talents, which you got to be if you're going to be especially a leader at a quarterback. And, you know, I've got to meet him over the years. I'd run into him a lot of Super Bowls when I was doing a Super Bowl event. And then I just saw him this past fall at the Stanford game. There's a Newt Rockne Legacy Club, and they gave Joe the award, you know, as the Newt Rockne guy this year. Actually, 100 years after Rockne won the national championship at Notre Dame, 1924, their first ever national championship. So I got to meet Joe, and they asked me to introduce him, which was fun because I could tell a couple quick stories about Joe T. And he's really, you know, he was an incredible announcer for a number of years. Yeah. So he's just a solid, solid guy. You know, and he just wouldn't let me play. It's like I couldn't beat him out. Like, dang, Joe, come on, man.
I think he got to play a little bit with Kathy Lee Crosby. That's who that was, by the way.
When they hosted
that show together on TV, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. Well, that's nice. But but Harbor, you have a connection to Mr. Joe, don't you? I don't know if you can tell it or not.
Well, I was playing with the Bears and we had a fake punt. And our personal protector was a short guy. He was under 6 feet tall. And he was kind of bent down. He had his hands on his knees, kind of like what a tailback would be right before the snap. And I hit him at the top of his helmet. Ball bounces up in the air. This is right about midfield. And needless to say, it was a cluster of bad things that happened. Some buddies of mine called me the next day. Joe was doing that game with ESPN and what was his name? Paul, the kind of walrus looking guy that used to play for the Bills, oddly enough.
Oh, yeah.
They were just drilling me. And then they come back from the break and there's a picture of me on the sidelines and I didn't realize I was on the air. And then Joe gave me another handful of his opinion about, you know, how I was responsible for, you know, the demise of our Western civilization. But so I deserved it, but really I will never watch that game again just because I don't want to see what Joe had to say about me.
Yeah, but whose fault was it, though? Was it his fault for being that short?
No, there was no fault. It was my fault for snapping it just a little bit too high, and I get it. But the one thing about Joe that was really interesting is that 1971 draft, when Jim Plunkett went first and Archie Manning and Dan Pastorini and Ken Anderson, I'm trying to think of some of the other quarterbacks that were a part of that. Sports Illustrated did a story on that, and Joe ended up getting drafted by the Dolphins. I think he was a third or a fourth rounder, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. And he ended up not signing with them. He went to Canada for a year or two before he ended up coming back. But long story short is, Joe, where were you when you got the call? Because today, everybody, you know, the media, and you've got a green room, and guys are wearing their suits and their ties. Joe was playing basketball on the other side of campus, and somebody had to go get him and have him called back to the Dolphins to accept the announcement, really. Just a completely different era from the way that it is right now. Plunkett was nowhere to be seen. They didn't have the media access like they do now. So it was a completely different era, as Patrick can attest to, that, you know, getting drafted. And it was a one-day event. Remember, they didn't break it up over 3 days. So very, very busy, busy time, but a completely different realm of how you're introduced into the National Football League than the way they do it now.
Harper, did you get drafted out of Colorado State?
I did. Yeah. So very fortunate that that took place, but I didn't make it, Patrick. I was cut, released, let go for 4 years. They drafted me to play center because I could long snap, but I had a tight end body. I was 250 going in a world where in training camp, real quick, I was drafted by Kansas City, oddly enough, and I got up to about 268. That's the heaviest I was. And the next smallest lineman on the team was 285. So needless to say, I was a little shrimpy, wimpy dude that goes into training camp. Didn't stand much of a chance to make the team, but eventually did a few years later.
All right.
And how tall are you, Harper?
6'4". 6'4", yeah.
On a good day,
right?
That's kind of tough. I mean,
just kidding.
Being tall, though, Well, no, but being that tall, that's almost an impediment for your quarterback, isn't it?
Well, no. Now they're 6'7". Some guys are even bigger than that. And you, as Patrick, I'm sure, can attest more than I can, you got to find those little areas in between the long arms that are reaching up to deflect your passes and your guys and where the receivers are down the field and the linebackers. It really does make it different. And that's why a lot of your quarterbacks you see today are all 6'4", 6'6". They're bigger human beings because they have to rely on their ability to be able to see down the field. But, that makes Baker Mayfield look like a little shrimpy guy. He's about 6'1.5".
And to add to Harper's resume at Notre Dame High School in Sherman Oaks, California, sunny Southern California. Hello, Dodger fans. Anyways, Harper was a star football player, star basketball player, star baseball player, and a star trackster as well. So four sports, you bring all those together. And well, that must have been a heck of an asset for your football game because you already were an excellent athlete. Harper, how did all those other sports help you become such a darn good football player?
Well, even though he probably wasn't the first to say it, if I were to quote Tony Gonzalez, the tight end, who oddly enough, again, with Kansas City and then with the Falcons, he put it this way, because he played college basketball at Cal Berkeley. One day he was asked, tell us a little bit about the other sports that you played. He goes, well, basketball made me a better football player. And football made me a better basketball player. I was a tougher human being on the basketball court because of what football taught me. But yet I was more athletic and I could move around and I could find spots to get open because of my basketball prowess and carrying that over athletically over onto the gridiron. So, Patrick, I'm sure you played more than one sport.
I was just going to ask Patrick.
Yeah, I played basketball and baseball. I'd get done with football on Friday night and go to basketball practice and on Monday morning, found out I was in terrible shape. And then I'd start playing baseball. The day after basketball tournament, I'd play baseball, and it was snowing in Erie usually, so we had a lot of stingers. And Harper, I was just going to – you talked about Notre Dame High School, I guess you probably got to know the great coach Kevin Rooney there, who was there for many years.
My senior year was Kevin's first, actually. His first year of, three full decades, if not four, yeah.
Yeah, an incredible guy. And how I know them, in 2012, I did the first event in Ireland, the Global Ireland Football Tournament, alongside Notre Dame Navy when they played their opening game of the season in Dublin. And Kevin Rooney took Notre Dame High School to Dublin and played against Hamilton High School, a perennial state champion in Arizona, coached by Steve Bellis, a former quarterback at Notre Dame. And it was a great game. And Kevin Rooney's team, Notre Dame High School, kind of upset Hamilton in a wonderful game in Dublin. So I got to know Kevin really well, really enjoyed working with that man and everybody at your high school. It's a classy place.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Go ahead, Mike.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead, Harper.
No, I was just going to say that's just one of those interesting things that, if you're fortunate enough to play not at a powerhouse, because that's generally speaking, what everybody kind of classifies it at. But, the experience that a high school kid would get to go on a trip like that. My son went to Buford High School here in Atlanta, and they part of the Kirk Herbstreit tournament where they brought a bunch of teams to Texas to play one another. Really makes the game bigger. It enhances and allows it to grow and creates memories in these kids that they get to keep for the rest of their lives.
Okay, guys, we have to get to our last commercial break here. What flower works as a natural pest control? Kind of a tough question. And we do have a quick silly joke here. Okay, so a bus filled with politicians on the campaign trail was driving through the countryside one day. A bus driver caught up in the beautiful scenery, lost control, and crashed into a ditch. A farmer living nearby heard the horrible crash and rushed out to discover the wreckage. Finding the politicians, he buried them. The next day, the police came to the farm to question the man. "So you buried all the politicians?" asked the police officer. "Were they all dead?" The farmer said, "Some said they weren't dead, but you know how politicians can be." All right, stay with us. Sports Econ 101 will be right back with some closing. We'll be right back.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D. Gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mike McDowell, and our special guest, Patrick Steenberg and Harper LaBelle. Third trivia question, what flower works as a natural pest control? It's a tough one. I'm just going to give it marigolds. Okay. All right, Harper, what do you want to tell us before we cut out to end the show? You wanted to plug something.
Oh, well, I hope everybody enjoyed the tournament and that college football hopefully is in safe and sound hands and continues to grow and prosper. And we talk about that. Our show is 100 Yards of Football. Mike has been a guest on that show, and he gave all of his comedic routine before we went on the air, so we had to redo it. And take two, we had to cut all over again. But that's a lot of fun for us, and certainly a way to, you know, learn more about the game and the great people that are a part of it.
Okay, what website can they go to?
Globalfootball.com. Pretty simple.
Globalfootball.com. All right, you guys ready? Here's our thoughts of the day. So I'm starting meetings at my house for people with OCD. I don't have it. I'm just hoping they'll take one look at my house and start cleaning. And my therapist says I have preoccupation with revenge. We'll see about that. All right, tune in next week to Sports Econ 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective and asking more trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, military. Oh, well.